Translation. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita 4.9, the Lord says, Jnanam karma ca me divyam evam yogati tatvataha chaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti so Arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the highest perfection of life, and the human body is meant for this purpose. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.20.17. Nri deham adya surlabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karanadaram mayanu kalkulyena nabhava teritam puman bhavadim na taret sa atmaha. This human form of body is a most valuable boat, and the spiritual master is the captain. Guru Charanarandam, to guide the boat in its plying across the ocean of nescience. The instructions of Krishna is a favourable breeze. One must use all these facilities to cross over the ocean of nescience. Since the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely, so that by his mercy one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The significant word here is Achyuta Balaha. The spiritual master is certainly very merciful to his disciples, and consequently by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, one must first please the spiritual master, and then one automatically pleases Krishna and gets the strength with which to cross the ocean of nescience. If one seriously desires to return home back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master, for thus one gets a weapon with which to conquer the enemy. And one also gets the grace of Krishna. Simply getting the weapon of jnana is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general warfare, one must take help from his chariot and horses in order to conquer his enemy. And after conquering his enemies, he may give up the chariot and its paraphernalia. Similarly, as long as one has a human body, one should fully use it to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. The perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendentally situated, Brahma Bhuta. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18.54, Brahma Bhuta prasanatma na sochite na kanshati, samak sarvishu bhuteshu nadbhaktim labhate param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state he attains pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must obtain the platform of Bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yas chasmi tatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva vishitetad anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Bhagavad Gita 18:55. Unless one has attained the stage of devotional service and the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, there is a possibility that one may fall down again, accept a material body. Therefore, Krishna stresses in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yovati tatvata. Chakvadeham pranajanma naitimam eti soarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The word tatvata, meaning in reality, is very important. Tato mam tatvato jatva. Unless one understands Krishna in truth by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up his material body. As it is said, Aruya Krishna param param tata patanti ado nadri yasmat angraya. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, one cannot become free from the material touches simply by knowledge. Even if one attains to the stage of Brahma Padam, merging into the Brahman, without bhakti he is prone to fall down. One must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again into material bondage. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti, from which one is sure not to fall. Then one is free from the activities of the material world. In summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with a bona fide spiritual master, commending the parampara of Krishna consciousness, and by his mercy and instructions, one is able to get strength from Krishna. Thus one engages in devotional service and attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Vishnu. Significant in this verse are the words Janisim Achyuta Bala. Janisim, the word, the sword of knowledge, is given by Krishna. And when one serves a guru and Krishna in order to behold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. Balaram is Nityananda. Rajendra Nandan se, ye satisuta hoilase, Balaram hailo nitai. This Balaram comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papi tapi yatid chila, harinam udarila. Their weapon is Sangatan Harinam. Thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. In the Mundaka Upanishads 3:2-4 it is said, Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhyo Na Cha Pramadat Tapaso Vyap Alingat Eter Upayer Yatate Yastu Vidvams Tasyaisa Atma Vishate Rama Dharma. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nitayera Karuna Habe Raji Radha Krishna Pabe. When one receives the mercy of Balaram Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Se sambandha nahi yara vrita janma gela tara vija kule he karib tara. If one has no connection with Nitai Balaram, then even though one is very learned scholar or jnani or has taken birth in a very respectable family, his assets will not help him. He must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balaram. Omigantam irandasya Yananjana shalakaya Chakshuran militam jena Tasmai Shri Guru Venamaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shri Ratam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Atitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Maharaj Yudhisthira is carrying on instructing Narada Muni is carrying on instructing Maharaj Yudhisthira. And there's two main, well, there's many items of knowledge here, but there's two in particular that seems to come up more often than the others. That's Jnana Asim, that's the sword of knowledge, and Bala, the strength to perform devotional activities. So both things are needed. Knowledge, it's just like in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it mentions Indriyani Paranyahur, Indriyabhya Paramam Manaha, Manasastu Yobudir, Yobudir Paratastusa. And it's explained the hierarchy in the body, how the sense objects. In the purport, he says that the sense objects are inferior to the senses. And in our natural condition, in our healthy condition of life, when we can control the senses, that's true. But Prabhupada explains in the purport that actually the sense objects are more powerful than the senses. So that means when we're conditioned, when we're under the modes of nature, the sense objects are always attracting us. And it's very difficult to overcome them. So, but by knowledge, this jnana asina, by understanding our constitutional position as the soul and engaging in devotional service, that solves the whole problem. We overcome the intelligence, which is condition. We overcome the mind when we overcome the senses. And Prabhupada makes the point that actually there's always chance of a fall down. And then he brings in, as well as jnana asima, he brings in the other quality of bala. What's he say? Bala. Let's have a look. Bala Achyuta. He says, because we haven't got strength from Krishna Balaram. So we have to get this strength as well as the knowledge. And these different ways, ways we get strength. So he says in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructing Arjuna, Tasmat Sarvashu Kalishu, Mamanus Maramuk Yugacha, Mayapita Manobir, Mami Vaishasa Samshaya. But if we remember Krishna, then automatically this is the goal of life. This is the conclusion of all the Shastras. What's that verse? Yena Tena Prakarina, Krishna Smaranivashayat, Sarvavidinishadishu, Etiar Evakinkara. That all the injunctions of the Shastra, all the directions, are subservient to this one, to remember Krishna. And so if we can remember Krishna in service, then automatically we'll get the strength. One devotee was asking me about how can we remember him when we're driving. It's difficult, you know, you've got to concentrate on the driving. Is that right? But what about Krishna? What about Arjuna? He was fighting a battle. He was fighting for his life. Arrows were coming. All kinds of different brahmastras. And he was having to remember Krishna. Krishna told him, you should engage your activities in my service and remember me while fighting. And so it's possible if we have to practice. Difficult to control the mind, Arjuna says. But Krishna says, by practice, we can bring the mind back. We can focus on Krishna. And when Krishna got off the when Arjuna got off the chariot, then Krishna got off the chariot, The chariot went to pieces. It went to dust. And Arjuna asked, why did that happen? And Krishna said, it was only because I was on the chariot that it kept you in one piece. You were defeated many times. And so this purpose of remembering Krishna gives us both knowledge and strength. But we'll deal with one at a time. First is knowledge. Yad anudaya sina yukta karma granti nibandhanam chindant kovitas tasya kuna yadiratim says that with sword in hand, intelligent persons cut through the blinding knot of material existence by by remembering the personality of Godhead. So this remembrance is there. Knowledge is meant to bring remembrance. So in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the six questions asked, and one of those questions is, who will not listen to this? And this verse I've just quoted answers it. who will not listen? There was a woodcutter. There was a person who was going through the forest. He was going from one village to another, he had some things to buy from the other village, so he's walking through the forest and he hears this and as he gets closer he sees that somebody's chopping, they're sawing through a log, and he notices he's halfway through the log. So then he carries on to the other end and he buys what he wants. He's coming back, he hears and he gets there and he sees that he's only halfway through the log, he's not going any further, and so he says, why don't you sharpen the saw? He said, I ain't got time. And so in devotional service, how many times do we not sharpen the sword of intelligence? You know, we work like Trojans. There's so much work. But when it comes down to sitting down and trying to absorb some philosophy, it takes a little bit more intelligence. It takes a bit more application, control of the mind. But I say this is the way forward in devotional service, isn't it? By hearing. By hearing alone, we can obtain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By hearing alone, we can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's that verse? Shrutekshita. Shruta means by sound. By hearing sound. And Ikshita means seeing. It says, devotees of the Lord, they see the Lord by the bona fide process of hearing. When we hear, the heart becomes purified. And then Krishna sits there. And then we can appreciate Krishna. And so, this point that we're getting knowledge from Krishna is so important. But what's the beginning of that knowledge? It's talking about taking shelter of the spiritual master. And from him we get both, by the mercy of Krishna and Balaram. And so what's taking shelter of the spiritual master? It says, Shushushor Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. Vasudeva Kata Ruchi, a taste for hearing. Shushushor Shadadanasya. With great faith, we can hear. If Shanmahap Sevaya Vipra. Sevaya Vipra, that means to the person who's learned in knowledge. By serving the person who's learned in knowledge, or the spiritual master, Punyatirthinishavinat. Then this is a path forward in all auspiciousness. And then next verse, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Ridantak Stohe Bhadrani, Vidunati Sunitsatam. Then Krishna in the heart of the sincere devotee who's hearing properly, who's rendering service, and therefore developing the purification of heart and hearing properly, then he develops Krishna from within the heart, purifies him of all material contamination. Even it explains Prabhupada, it says the most difficult thing in this material world is the attraction to the opposite sex. He says even great stalwarts have fallen prey to this attraction. They've become so advanced. Vishwamitra, he was 60,000 years, was it? Anyway, and then he fell down with Menaka. And the Surabhi Muni, simple thing like seeing two fish copulating, and he had to come up for air. He was finished. So this is very strong, but he says, but this hearing, if we hear properly, gradually all impurities, all disturbances in the heart are cleared away for good. And so we have to see where our good fortune is. Our good fortune is not from, you know, doing so many activities, but from hearing properly. Prabhupada said, if I can get one person to sit under a tree and hear properly, he says, my mission is accomplished. Make one pure devotee is completely a vehicle for Krishna, isn't it? Minimitam atram. That's what we're coming for. It's not a matter of our material expertise in devotional service. We may think we're limited, but we're not limited if we're a pure devotee. If we're actually fully surrendered to Krishna, we're in our constitutional position, and then Krishna can use that devotee for so much service. And this was Prabhupada's situation. Because Prabhupada, as it says, taking shelter of the spiritual master, he took proper shelter, then he was able to attain success in his devotional activities. He wasn't considered the person to do it. He was considered, yeah, he's a nice devotee, he can run the Bombay temple. They said, Gurudev, can he run the Bombay temple? He's very expert at managing. And these were the sannyasis speaking, and they were going to England to preach and doing very educated devotees. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, he says, let him stay where he is. He'll do everything in due course of time. And they didn't understand what he meant. But Prabhupada did everything in due course of time, although he wasn't considered externally qualified. Why? Because he took the spiritual master's instruction to heart. He had faith in the spiritual master's instructions. And therefore he was successful. So this is the key to success in devotional service. Is to take proper shelter of this three things here mentioned. What are they? Is anybody awake? Three things mentioned here. There's a spiritual master, and there's a captain, who's the captain of the ship. There's a ship, which is the individual, the body. We have this body. Very important, this body. It says, Prahlad Maharaj says that, what's that verse? Komaram Archeret Pragna. Jnanam Bhagavatam Iya. Durlabham Manasanjama. Tabhyata Archeretam Dartadam. He says, this human form of body is rarely attained. He says, it's awarded, actually. One who's been awarded the human form of life. He says, but a little bit of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. So the body is our lifeline. Some bodies, we may not think we've got a very good body sometimes. But what does it matter? If we've got a car, we can get to A to B, can't we? There may not be, air conditioning in the car. The wing mirrors might be hanging off. There may be so things wrong with it, but it still goes from A to B. So anybody who's got a human form of body, no matter what condition, as long as we can hear, we can actually engage in devotional service. So then the other thing is this is the ship, the body. The spiritual master taking shelter of his instructions, the captain of the ship. His instructions are there, what? Favourable winds. Favourable winds are coming through his direct instructions and via Srimad Bhagavatam. And also through his aide-de-camps, the devotees. Usually we don't get much association with it. With the present system, the spiritual master is usually thousands of miles away. And so we don't get much association. But the Vedic system was that, you know, it was that the spiritual master was local. And so this is more applicable. But still, the process still works through the spiritual master's representatives. So we have to be intelligent enough, what is a representative of the spiritual master? So therefore we have to know what Shastra... If we understand Shastra, we'll be able to tell when instructions are coming. We understand the mood of the spiritual master. We can see who is actually representing the spiritual master by understanding Shastra. Okay, so... let's go a bit further. So, devotional service. So, the point here is... It says realized knowledge. We have to get realized knowledge. We acquire knowledge by hearing, but realization comes from service. What's it? Jnanam paramam guyam me tadvigyanam samitam Bhagavatam. Just before the seed verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's talking about how we get knowledge. And it's in relation to devotional service. And Lord Krishna's telling Lord Brahma that here is the necessary paraphernalia for making progress in devotional service. So service and knowledge, two things which go together. And then we get realized knowledge in the heart. Some people may think, well, I've got realized knowledge in the heart. But we have to be careful. What does it say in Bhagavad Gita, 17th chapter? It says, Arjuna's asking Krishna, he's saying, what about a person who knows what he should do, but he doesn't do it? He knows what he should do, but he speculates. And Krishna says it's a waste of time. He says it's governed by the modes of nature. So the modes of nature expand to the heart. So unless we're hearing properly and getting a proper understanding, then even though we think we may have realization, that realization will be tainted with material contamination, and therefore it'll be true to some degree, but not completely true. And so the purification of the heart has to be there. Just like Narada Muni, he approached the Bhaktivedantas, and he was sincere. He said he was not naughty. He heard from them nicely. And he took their remnants. We take that part, we usually remember that part. He took his remnants and he got purified. But actually the real thing is that he got purified and he heard with rapt attention. What does it mean to hear with rapt attention? One's got to be pure in action. So we have to perform devotional service in the mode of goodness. And when we're pure in action, we're pure in thought. And then when we're pure in thought, we can hear properly. So this is why the two things go together. We can't hear unless we're performing devotional service and becoming purified. We'll hear. It'll be like armchair philosophy, Prabhupada says. But no, jnanam paramam guhyam, we have to perform devotional service. Pure in action, perform devotional service, then purity of thought, and then we can hear purely. I told you that story about the prisoner, didn't I? Yeah? I think I did. Anyway, I'll tell you again. There was, we had a prison service in England, and we used to put books in the prisons, but in the beginning they didn't have devotees visiting the prisons because they didn't have the authority to do that. They hadn't got granted the permission. And so one prisoner got the Bhagavad Gita from the library and he was reading it, and he became really enthusiastic and fired up. And eventually they got permission to visit. So he read it without any association. And then they visited the prison and they said, so what do you think of the Bhagavad Gita? Fantastic. Really fired up about it. He says, it's changed my life. He says, well, what conclusion did you get from the Bhagavad Gita? And he said, I concluded that when I get out of prison, there's six people I have to kill immediately. So he must have been reading the first chapter. Six aggressors. So he's seen through his own conditioning what he wants to do. Ah, here it is. You know. So how many times do we do that? We take a piece out of the Bhagavad Gita and we make it suit. So this is one thing. But then we hear regularly, and then these modes of nature which are in the heart, which attach to the heart, what's that? He's Raja and Tamas. Raja Tama Tabhava. Kama Loba Chaya Etir Anavim Stita Satre Prasidati. You know, these modes of nature in the heart are cleared away by this hearing. And then one becomes situated in the mode of goodness and one can do things properly. And then devotional service becomes enlivening. So we're after that stage of enlivening devotional service, the higher taste, param drishtva. Prabhupada tells us that we should aim for this. We shouldn't stay on the lower platforms of devotional service, but come to that higher taste. When we have a higher taste, then we can't be diverted from devotional service. While ever we're still attracted to that lower taste, then we're always fighting, and it's always a chance of drawing us into material activities again. So how can we? What's another way we can prove hearing? When Lord Chaitanya, he asked Ramananda Roy to explain a verse from the Shastras, an important verse. And Ramananda Roy said, "Well, you know everything. What do I know?" He said, "But you've asked me, so you can give me the intelligence to answer." And so Ramananda Roy started to answer. And he gave, first of all, he said that to follow one's occupational duties is very important. In this way one satisfies Krishna. Haritoshnam. Krishna's pleased by proper activities by rendering service according to hope. And Lord Chaitanya said no. He said this is an external activity. There may not be any knowledge. That means external. It's just an activity we're performing without any internal understanding. And so then he said, okay, yad karoshi, yad asnashi, yad jahoshi, didasyat. Do everything for my pleasure. Or do everything for the Supreme Lord and surrender it to the Supreme Lord. And Lord Chaitanya again said, no, it still may be done unconsciously. And so then he said, okay, sarvadharma pritijah. Abandon all rights, just surrender everything to me. And Lord Chaitanya said, this can be done unconsciously also. He says, we need knowledge. It's still external. And so then he quoted a verse from earlier in the 18th chapter. He said that Brahma Bhuta Prasanapna, come to this spiritual platform. And on that spiritual platform, we can understand things as they are. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, we can speculate. And so then Ramananda Roy quoted one very important verse, which proves that we should hear from authority. He said, Gyane priyasam udapashya namanti eva jivantisan makaritam baradiya vatman stane sitasya shrutikatim tanu van manovya ye priyaso jita apitraisti lokam. So everybody should really think about this. It's saying don't change your ashram. Don't change your situation, just here. Wherever you are, if you hear from that situation, you can attain the goal of life. And it says that, actually, Krishna is not conquerable by anybody in the three worlds. Trice Trilokyam. Even the great yogis are not able to conquer Krishna. But somebody who's simple enough to hear this philosophy regularly, every day, Nasta Priyesu Badreshu, then the impurities are cleaned from the heart. But more than that, it says that Krishna becomes conquered by that hearing. What's the psychology behind that? Krishna's a person. He likes to hear. When somebody speaks about us, we may be in earshot. Oh, what's that person saying? Immediately we're interested. Is it good or is it bad? But we're immediately alert. So Krishna doesn't need our glorification, obviously. He's on a different level. But he still has that same cycle. When he knows that somebody's hearing, then he takes an interest in us. So the hearing, whether we're intelligent, whether we're scripturally intelligent or not, is most important. Hearing with a proper attitude, a proper service attitude also. What's that verse in the seed verses? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pridipurvakam dadadi buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are dedicated to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So it's dependent on the devotee's service attitude. And then when the spiritual master is pleased, he says he can benedict the student with all understanding. Not only that, he says even if the person is not adept at following the four regulative principles, if his attitude is correct, the spiritual master can make it easy for him to follow the four regulative principles. So the worst thing we can do is have sour grapes, throw a towel in with the philosophy. We can't get the goal, so I can't do it. It's not a proper process anyway. This is called envy of the system. So whether one's able to follow or not able to follow, if we have the right attitude, then eventually we'll get Krishna's mercy. We see this so many times. I see so many devotees. Some of them may not even be chanting the rounds for years on end, but they have the right attitude. I'm not saying everybody should get into that. I've noticed some devotees, they're actually practicing devotional service, and they're not what you can call a sadhana bhakta. They don't have much sadhana. But still, because they're pleasing to the devotees, Krishna still takes their service. They're still considered well situated. Anyway, that's another thing. So this is the we were talking here about Gyan Asina, the sword of knowledge. And another thing which proves that it's the attitude is the gopis. The gopis, when Krishna blew his flute, the gopis are not considered learned in philosophy. But actually they've attained the highest perfection of philosophy. They're rendering the most pleasing, pure devotional service to Krishna. And so when Krishna blew his flute in the middle of the night to fulfill their desire to see him, the gopis left everything and they went to see him. They couldn't go back, they'd burnt all their bridges. This is how devoted they were to the Supreme Lord. In the Vedic culture, to leave home at night meant that you couldn't go back there. Can you imagine a woman out of home? What's she going to do? But they left everything and went to Krishna. And Krishna said, can I help you? Is there something you need? And so they started. So he was just teasing them. But he was drawing out a philosophical discussion with them. And their philosophy, and actually they beat Krishna. Krishna gave so much philosophy from Shastra about young women shouldn't be out of home. It says here in the so-and-so Upanishad and this. That. And they just said, look, you're the Supreme Lord of everything. If we surrender to you, everything's taken care of. And so Krishna accepted that. They weren't particularly considered learned. So this is the process of devotional service. This we haven't covered the bala side of it, spiritual strength. We've just covered the knowledge side today. But anyway, so where does spiritual strength come from? Balaram, from the spiritual master. But also there's a process of becoming serious about taking shelter of Balaram, Krishna and the spiritual master. Because if we seriously take shelter and remember them, we get spiritual strength. So what is one thing that comes to mind which sort of pushes us towards doing that from your realizations? I'm sure everybody's had this realization at some point. When you have good association. If we can take advantage of good association. But this is something more basic than that. We may not be able to take advantage of good association. Why is he always talking about Krishna? We may even think like that. He's a fanatic. No, it's fear. If we fear, Prabhupada said, the trouble with my disciples, they're not sufficiently fearful of the material energy. Sometimes it looks very nice, doesn't it, when things are going very nice for us, and we get drawn in. So fear of the material energy is very important. And we've just had Janmashtami. Janmashtami, this is a good example. He says, Devaki was fearful of Kamsa. And she had six children killed in her womb. There's a history behind these six children. They're known as the six garbhas. They are six bad qualities. In the previous verse, he mentions these six bad qualities. He said, because she was fearful of Kamsa, who was the material energy personified, she was able to take shelter of Krishna. And these six garbhas, Kamsa eventually killed these six enemies within her womb. So Devaki is known as Bhakti. When she got rid of these six bad qualities in the womb, these six garbhas, then Bhakti, she was situated in devotional service. And when we're situated in devotional service, Krishna appears in the heart. So similarly, just as she was frightened of Kamsa, a devotee should be similarly frightened of the material energy. When we're frightened of the material energy, automatically we start to give up these bad qualities. We don't engage in these bad qualities. They remove from the heart, and then we can get Krishna into the heart. Or we get bhakti into the heart first. We get a taste for devotional service. And when that taste for devotional service is there, very quickly Krishna follows. So, we should be... Fear is not known as strength, it's a weakness. But fear for a devotee, if he's fearful of the materiality, he'll give him so much spiritual strength. Or the opportunity to gain so much spiritual strength. Okay, so it's 9:30 now. We should stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments?